Hey, good morning. Glad you are here today. Glad you're joining us. I want to talk to you today about a subject that all of us have to deal with at some point in our lives, but none of us actually want to deal with. What do you do about a person that says one thing and does another? That says they stand for something, but then they act in another way? In other words, what do you do when you have to come face to face with a hypocrite? Now, Jesus actually speaks to spiritual hypocrisy in a parable. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But what I need you to understand is this, is that it is common human behavior for us to sort of divide into groups and know who's in or who's out based on who we think are the right ways or the right people or the right group or the right clique or the right team. And then those that are not with us, we typically look at those people as on the outside. We tend to divide ourselves into groups all of our lives. From the moment that we are children and we pick teams or pick sides, we can be best friends before this. But when you get on a team, your best friend's on another team, you've picked side. You're in, they're out. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's white collar versus blue collar, office work versus working with your hands. You pick sides, you have opinions that you base off of that. Maybe it's your school, maybe it's your sports team, maybe it's your political party, maybe it's the social clubs that you're in high school or college where you have fraternities and sororities, or social clubs or country clubs or different social scenes or groups that you are in when you're an adult. Maybe it is vegan versus carnivores or iPhone versus Androids. You will divide yourself into groups and say, this is the group that's in and this is the group that's out. And we often look for ways to distinguish between those groups. And the people that are not in, typically we look at with greater disrespect, or we look down on them as not being as wholesome or as righteous, especially when it comes to spiritual things. And many times we use the label of being a hypocrite. Many times we use the label of being a hypocrite, and it's wrong. But there is such a thing as spiritual hypocrisy, and Jesus speaks to that. He speaks to it in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And I just want to read in this parable, and remember, a parable is a story or a comparison that Jesus uses in order to emphasize a kingdom principle in our lives. So starting in verse 24, it says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the seeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. And the servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds, tie them in the bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Now, that's kind of a hard parable to understand. It was even hard for his disciples to understand. As a matter of fact, later on in the chapter, his disciples come to him and say, tell us what the meaning of the parable was. And later on in those verses, Jesus says this. He says, here's what you need to understand. The field is the world. The one who is scattering the seed is the Son of Man, or Jesus himself. The good seed are the people of God. The bad seed are the people of the enemy, or the evil one, or the devil. And the harvesters are the angels at the end of time. So he sets this picture and he says, what's happening is this. Based on this parable, there are going to be the people of God, the good seed. There are going to be the people of the enemy, the bad seed. And they're going to be intermingled together in this world. And they're actually going to grow together. But he gives specific instructions as to how we are to deal with those. Because if they're in the world, they're also in the church. And one of the hardest things to deal with is when you're in a church or you've been associated with a church and you either deal with or you've dealt with in the past a hypocrite, one who says they believe something but acts another way. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing I want you to see this morning is this. What actually is a hypocrite? I want to give you a definition from just a common dictionary, and then I want to give you the origin of that so we can understand what a hypocrite actually is. So a dictionary definition is this. It's a person who pretends to have virtues, moral or religious beliefs, principles, etc., that he or she does not actually possess, especially a person whose actions contradict their stated belief. So there is this contradiction. Here's what we say. Here's what we actually do. The origin comes from the Greek term. It's a Greek origin where an actor or an actress who pretended to be on stage something that they were not. They would wear these masks so that you could understand who they are. They would have one face that would be a smiling face, one face that would frown, and so that you would know who they are, and they would be called a hypocrite or two-faced in that. But what do you do when you have to deal with someone who is a hypocrite, two-faced? When it comes to spiritual things. So that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to give you four things, four ways on how we can deal with a hypocrite. So the first thing is this: how should I deal with a hypocrite when I come in contact with them? The first thing is this, is don't judge their salvation. Don't judge their salvation. Once again, the very last part of that parable, it says this, and the servants ask him being Jesus in the story, the farmer, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may also uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. So the option that the servant said was, hey, should we go take care of this right now? We can see that there's an issue going on. We can see that some are good seed, some are bad seed. We can see that some are wheat and some are what is called weeds. Now, in this passage, this translation, it translates that word weeds. It's technically the word is a tare, T-A-R-E. And that is a weed that looks identical to wheat as it starts to grow. Only later on can you see the difference. It's actually called unfruitful wheat as one of the common terms of that. So they're very hard to know which is which in this. And so the harvesters, the servants say, should we go ahead and pull them up? And the owner says, no, don't do that, because I care too much about the good. I care too much about the wheat. I care too much about the good people of the kingdom that I don't want to harm them in the process. So what does that mean for you and me? It means I'm not supposed to judge their salvation. He says at the end of the days and at the judgment day that the angels are going to come and they're going to separate who is good and who is bad. And those who have been bad are going to go on to eternal punishment. Those who are good are going to go on to eternal righteousness and reward. But he says, leave that to me. Because the truth of the matter is this, judging their salvation is not my job. There is but one King, and one Lord, and one Judge, and he is the same one that has the power and the authority to save or condemn, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. Another reason I don't need to judge people's salvation is this, just because people act hypocritical sometimes do not make them the people of the kingdom of our enemy. It doesn't make them servants of the devil. You and I have hypocritical ways sometimes, but that doesn't make us serving the devil. That just means sometimes you make a mistake. See, that's why I don't judge salvation. Yeah, I can say that I believe in self-control, but if I lose my self-control occasionally, if I say I need to be careful with my words, but then I lose control and say some things that I don't, does that make me a hypocrite? Or does that mean in that moment I made a failure, I made a mistake, and I acted in a hypocritical way, but that doesn't make me a child of the enemy or a child of the evil one? So it's not my job to judge their salvation. That belongs to Christ. So the first thing in dealing with a hypocrite is don't judge their salvation. The second thing is this, don't judge their motives. Don't judge their motives. Jesus also speaking in Matthew chapter 7, he's talking at the Sermon on the Mount, and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says this. He says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You and I don't have the capacity to know what's in someone's heart. Yes, God gives us gifts. Yes, God gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us discernment, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But we don't have the capacity to know what's in their heart. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah says the heart is above all things evil. We can even fool ourselves with our own hearts. So how do we have the capacity to judge what's in the heart of someone else? In Luke chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples are talking, and his disciples say to him, Lord, we found someone. We found this person. And you know what they were doing? They were healing someone else in your name. And we told them, you better stop that because they're not part of our group. And Jesus said, what are you doing? He said, don't stop them. Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. He says, if they're doing it in my name, then don't stop them in this. See, the disciples wanted to know who's in, who's out. Are they part of the kingdom or are they not part of the kingdom? And you have to do it our way in our time with our group of people in order for it to be of the kingdom principles. They were judging the motives of the person. Jesus said, don't do that. But how do you reconcile Luke chapter 9 when he does that with Matthew chapter 7? When Jesus said that many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And he said, and they won't enter into the kingdom, only with the ones who did the will of my Father in heaven. Then he goes on and says, and many will say to me, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not work miracles in your name? And Jesus said, and I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. So what does he mean by that? That it is possible to take the gifts that God has given us and do it not in the name, the character, the power of Jesus Christ and the glory belonging to him, but to do it for our own motives and to do it for our own glory. Jesus said, you've received all the glory you're going to get on this earth. How do you reconcile those two things? Only at the end of time does Jesus, who has the authority and the power, judge the motives of people. And I have to rely on the fact that everything eventually will come to light. That's what Matthew chapter 7 is about. He said, everything will come to light. By their fruit, you will know them. Eventually, it's all going to come out. In a short term, you may not understand it, but it will eventually all come out. So if I'm dealing with a hypocrite, I don't get to judge their salvation, and I don't get to judge their motives. Then what am I supposed to do? So I've given you two don'ts. Let me give you a couple of things to do. Number one is this, do confront false teaching. Do confront false teaching. 1 Timothy 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, I urge you, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach on any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So I am supposed to begin to confront things that are false teaching. Now, why is that important? Because the wheat and the weeds or the tares, they look identical until they mature. And when they mature, the wheat actually is fruitful. It produces grain, and the grain starts at the top. And it causes the wheat to bow down, causes it to bow over. The tares, the weeds, they don't have any fruit, so they stand tall and straight. So the wheat are bowing down, and the tares or the weeds are standing tall and straight. It's a beautiful picture of the people of God, once they become fruitful, giving glory and honor, bowing down to the commands and the lordship of Jesus Christ, while the weeds, instead, they are standing tall and straight, refusing to bow down to the teachings of Jesus. It's always about my obedience to the teachings of Christ that separates me. And I do confront false teaching, especially when it has to do with me and has to do with someone else that I love and appreciate. Now, there is discernment, and the Bible talks about to have the discernment of spirits, to test the spirits and know whether or not it's true or not. But it's not necessarily for you to call everybody out and label them. It is to protect the people that God has given into you. Your own life, their life, the people that he has given into you and to your care. Maybe you teach a class. Maybe you are part of a family. And that is, you're supposed to confront false teaching in those moments. One of the most common sense of false teachings that you'll find out today is it's not just about the gospel. It's about people trying to decide who's out and who's in. Straw man, ad hominem arguments. If you don't know what those are arguments that you set up something that is not really occurring or that you want to occur, so to separate yourself and to show who's out and who's in. Things that you, people would say is like, the world's biggest problem is this, yet we stand for this. That's kind of an ad hominem. It's a straw man argument in this. I see this happen between churches who are not supposed to compete with each other. And they say, the church, the biggest problem in the church is this, but we do this instead. You know what the problem with that is? It's not really an argument. It's just a clever sales pitch trying to get people to come and join your group. Confront false teaching. Be aware of the things that are going on. Confront it when it has to do with you. Confront it when it has to do with the people that you love. But you don't have to spend your life trying to place labels on everybody else. God will handle all of that. So, how do I deal with a hypocrite? I don't judge their salvation. I don't judge their motives. But I do confront false teaching, and I do confront sinful behavior. In James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is a picture of a believer who has erred from the truth, who is not living according to the standards of Christ. They know this is the believer, a brother or sister. He says, which one of you, look at what he says. He says, and my brother says, if one of you wander from the truth, he says, share that, confront that. If you see sinful behavior in someone, but you confront that, not in a way to label someone as a hypocrite, you confront that person in love, wanting to lovingly bring them back into the care and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It feels like in the days in which we live, more people want to just point out the faults of everybody else and label them as a hypocrite than it does to lovingly address someone in private, according to Matthew chapter 18, and bring them back under the conviction of the Holy Spirit to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus actually warned us about getting this wrong. In Matthew chapter 7 as well, he tells us the tendency that we will have is to point out the little small speck of problem in someone else's eye. And he says, and you don't even notice that you've got a large piece of wood, a 2x4, sticking out of your own eye. What a hilarious picture that Jesus is trying to paint that says, you notice everything wrong in everyone else, but never notice the things that are wrong in you. See, we have to be aware of that. And instead of trying to label people, we want to lovingly bring them back to the relationship that Christ has called them to. So how should I deal with a hypocrite? I don't judge their salvation. That's not my job. I don't judge their motives. I don't have that capacity. I do confront false teaching in order to protect myself and the ones that I love. And I do confront sinful behavior in order to get someone back in the right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, how am I supposed to live in a world of hypocrites? Let me give you four quick things to remember before we go today. First of all is this. Remember, I am not responsible for the behavior of hypocrites. So that means this. I get to personally resign from being responsible for their behavior. I get to personally resign from having to call that behavior out all the time and just point it out to everybody else. I'm not responsible for the behavior of hypocrites. They are. Jesus said that they will be dealt with at the end of the age. Second thing to remember is this. Hypocrites are not responsible for my behavior. So you've heard the saying before, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The hypocrite didn't make you do it. The fact that they did something to you that you don't like doesn't mean that you respond in kind or you respond in an even greater way. The hypocrite's not responsible. I and I alone am responsible for my behavior. If the Holy Spirit is trying to develop within me the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, if I don't see those things happening in my life, it's not because of someone else and it's not because of a hypocrite. I'm responsible for my own behavior. The last thing I want you to remember is this, is that I can trust that God will reveal our true intentions in His timing. I can trust that God will reveal our true intentions in His timing. God will bring to light everything that is in the dark. And I know sometimes it is frustrating when you see something happening and you want someone's behavior and their hypocrisy to be exposed. God has promised that He will do it in His time and in His way. And one of the greatest acts of faith and trust is to trust that God will actually do that and not try to take that responsibility on myself. But it's difficult. But if you'll do those things, if you'll do it that way, at the end of the time, at the end of the age, somewhere in your lifetime, all the lies that have been told about you, all the hypocritical behavior that you have seen and you've been involved with or you've been had to deal with in your life, all those things will come to light. And the Bible says that in verse 43, that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. One final thing I want to talk to you about. And it's to those people who have been hurt in the church. You have been hurt in the past by someone, by their hypocritical behavior. Or maybe they're just an out and out hypocrite and you've been hurt. And so you have held God responsible for their behavior. Or you've held the church responsible for their behavior. You've literally said, if that's the way Christians are going to act, I don't need any more of Christianity. Or if that's the way Christians are going to act, I don't need any more of church. And you have been at an arm's distance from your relationship with Jesus or at an arm's distance from the place you're called to in the community of Christ called the church. And you've allowed a hypocrite to separate you from God. Their behavior, you're allowing to separate you from God. Listen to me. Don't allow some hypocrite or some hypocritical behavior to keep you from the relationship Christ has called you to. Because if you'll let me be really, really, really honest with you right now, I'm going to give you a truth that's going to sting a little, but I hope will motivate you. It's this. If I allow a hypocrite to stand between God and me, they're closer to God than I am. It's just proximity. If I allow their behavior to push me away, I'm allowing a hypocrite to have a closer relationship with Christ than I'm supposed to have. Don't allow that. Don't allow someone's behavior to keep you out of the relationship Jesus died for. You've been hurt? I know you have. You've been treated wrongly? I know you have. But Jesus never treated you wrong. And just because one member of the family of God, or maybe it's a hypocrite and they're not even in the family of God and they're just there to sow discord, don't allow them to have victory over your life. Step into the victory Christ has given you through His power and through His blood and through His sacrifice. You're going to come into contact with hypocritical people all your life, but you don't have to allow them to control you. And I'm believing in Jesus' name that God is going to give you the grace and the strength to deal with those people in the way that He's called us to, so that He may be glorified and you may grow in your relationship and have a stronger witness for Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, I thank You today so much for Your grace and mercy that has been so abundant in our lives. Lord, I ask that You would bless Your people today. Maybe there are someone that are watching right now that they're dealing with this. They're dealing with the hurt. They're dealing with the fallout of some hypocritical behavior. Maybe that there's just a full-fledged hypocrite that's trying to sow discord in their life. I pray that You will allow them to have the overcoming power of Jesus Christ in their life. For those that have been hurt and wounded, and those wounds have caused them to draw back from You, Holy Spirit, begin to draw them into that right relationship You've called them to. God, maybe there's some that are watching right now, listening right now, that You're convicting of their own hypocritical behavior. I pray that they realize that they don't have to be a people associated with the evil one, but they can be associated with the kingdom of God. And through your grace, your power, your righteousness, you can take all of that hypocrisy and you can put it in our past and you can help us to walk as the righteous walk. Because this is for your glory, this is for your honor, and this is for your praise, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you have a fabulous week. And before you go, allow me the privilege to bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Let's give our response together from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you. Have a great week.